3 weeks back that I'm calling game over. And we know that we do have an enemy, and he loves to play games with our lives, right? Because what he can do, if he can get us distracted, if he can get us focused on other things, he loves to mess things up, and we know that. But I also know there is going to become a day that his game is going to be over, because the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be out of here, and there's going to come, it's going to begin a series of events that's going to lead to his demise and his finish. And Scripture tells us there will come a day that he will be bound up, and it'll be cast into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That sounds like a fitting end, doesn't it? And he will be cast there for all of eternity. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that day. I'm ready for that to be over. Matter of fact, I've got it my own theory. I have a feeling that when we see him, we assign so much power and ability to him. I have a feeling when we really see him and see what he is and see that he's just this created being, I think there's something in us that's going to say, really? We're going to look at God's glory. We're going to look at him. We're going to say, that's what we were afraid of? That's just my theory. I believe it's going to come out to be that way. But one of these days, his games are going to be over. So today, we're going to talk about how many know that there is a game called the Game of Life? You ever play that when you was a kid? Yeah, I love, that's one of the games growing up that I loved to play. We had it at the house. Remember the big spinner in the middle that you spin it and had a little thing that clicked? I love that spinner. I mean, as a little kid, I'd just play with a spinner. It was kind of cool, right? But the whole idea of the game is you spin the wheel and you embark on this journey we call life, seeing to where it will take you in the game. And it's always interesting to me as a kid to kind of play through that. And so you start out with a car. That's already breaking reality, right? How many know that we don't always start out with a car, right? And you start out with yourself in the car, and you put this little peg in the driver's seat, and you spin the wheel, and you get started, and you go on this little journey marked out on the board called life. And at some point, you reach a place, and it says, everybody has to stop here, and you stop at that point, and you get married. And you put the other peg in the passenger seat. Boy, there's several things I want to say there, but I'm going to keep going. Side seat drivers, you know, that kind of stuff. But anyway, get in trouble. All right. But we started this journey we call life. As you stop being married, you put that peg in there, and you go down the road, and you spin, and you go through, and you reach a place that you stop, and it says, okay, you just had a baby boy or a baby girl, and you put them in the peg in the other slot in the car. And I never forget as a kid one time playing the game, and it seemed like I hit every one of those have a kid points. And next thing you know, I had more kids than there were pegs in the car. And I just thought, well, I guess that's just reality. It can happen in life. You just cram the pegs in wherever you can cram them, because there were no minivans in the game. But the interesting thing is, the whole event is a game of chance mixed in with some success and some hardships. And there really was very little choice to it. It was all based on chance and the spin of the wheel. In fact, in the game, there really was only one fork in the road, one decision to make, whether you went to the left or to the right. If I remember correctly, the path to the left was the one that was a kind of a smoother path, and it had a less likelihood for big windfalls and less likelihood for tragic things to happen. And then there was the other path that you could go that had the promise of a possibility of great reward or great tragedy. And the whole idea was you play this whole game, spin the wheel, and the whole idea was to get to the end. The person that had the most money at the end won. Now, I don't know about you, but how many know that that's not reality? There's some things that are missing from the game. See, things of life that truly matter didn't really count as far as the game goes. It didn't take into account, did you give and receive real love? What kind of legacy are you going to leave behind when it's all over? Did you live that life as you wander through that path with any kind of purpose? And then probably the biggest question of all is, when you reach the end, are you prepared for eternity? See, Jesus, I believe, gives us one verse in the Bible that gives us amazing insight to me on this thing that we call life. And it's found in John 10:10. And he's talking. And he says this. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, this verse contains both the good and the bad about this thing that we call life. See, it lets us know that there are some things in this life, and there's some bad in this life, and there's some good in this life. And C.S. Lewis has this famous quote that he says about this thing that we call life. And he says this, it actually seems to me that one can hardly say anything either bad enough or good enough about life. I know that life is one of those things that can have great highs, but can also have deep lows. There's been some great highs in my life. Highs of finding the right wife that God blessed me with and getting married. The highs of my first son being born and Derek being placed into my arms and just realizing how much love you can have for such a little new life. And holding that tiny thing in my arms, then Daniel being born and being placed in my arms and looking down and holding that much larger thing in my arms. Nothing against him, but he was a middle linebacker when he came out. It's just the way it was, right? But just feeling that, and then the high of the day when the studies and the things were complete. And I had that moment that of my ordination service and those things and stepping in that. There's great highs. And then there's tragedies that come along in life. There's stuff that we face, like losing parents and stuff that happens. And I'll never forget when my mom passed away. It was this unexpected thing that I just get this call from my dad. And I just talked to her 20 minutes earlier and everything was fine. And she was joking with me. And then I heard him to call and say, David, your mom is gone. We face those things in life. And so there are things that happen to us, but there's some things that I know that this confirmed in this verse when Jesus said it in John chapter 10, verse 10. It points some things out. There's some things that we know. We know, number one, that God has a plan for our life. Number two, that there is a battle being fought for our life. And the third thing we know is that too many people are losing the battle in this thing that we call life. There's far too many that are missing out. See, our main scripture today follows as Jesus was talking about, and he's talking about how that we're supposed to be sheep, and he makes this comment where he says, I am the good shepherd. And so this whole thing that we just read that at verse 10 starts at chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, where he says this, is, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. See, the one we follow has everything to do with us winning or losing in life. And far too many people are following in life, and they're following the lie. They're following the wrong idea. Because what did Jesus say? He says, we have an enemy. This whole idea is to use lies and to steal and to kill and to destroy. And one of the lies that I see today that is causing, I think, so many people to lose in life is that we're seeing it perpetuated everywhere, is that somehow that this life we live is a life of chance. And we have so many people thinking that they're living their life by chance. See, I realize in the game it's one thing, but in reality, life isn't something that we live by chance. There's no spinning of a wheel in life. It's not something random. Life is too valuable of a creation to be something that happened by chance. So why would we take a chance on losing when we can step into something that is absolutely, positively guaranteed? See, our enemy, Jesus mentions that our enemy can destroy, and he can destroy so much with his lies. I'll give you an example. We all probably, if you grew up any time in church at all, you know the story that back in the Garden of Eden, that God created the very first man, the very first woman, and they were put in this beautiful garden and had everything going their way. It was all a perfect place. And then he says, okay, there's one tree in the middle here, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Leave that alone and everything will be okay. But if you mess with it, you will die. What happens? The enemy comes along right off the bat and starts with his lie. Oh, if you eat from that tree, you won't die. In fact, the only reason he really doesn't want you to eat from the tree is because you'll have knowledge and you'll become smart and you'll become like he is. And that's not what he wants. And so, you know, and so they buy the lie and they lose the garden. See, with those lies, Satan destroyed their perfect life in the garden. And today, the lie that he tells us all, and it's permeated everywhere we look, is that somehow that life is nothing but a thing of chance. That somehow or other, because we live in such a vast universe and things colliding and things happening, that somehow, some way, the right stuff happened, and there was this little pile somewhere on this earth of some kind of primordial goo, and things hit just right, and somehow life sprung from nothing. And somehow over the billions and billions of years, that goo became you. I call it the goo to you theory. And somehow we get this idea that life, we were taught that life is nothing but a big cosmic accident. And so literally we're living life by chance. There's a cosmic wheel that's being spun and we're just going along and wherever we happen to land, we're landing. If good things happen, good things happen. Bad things happen, bad things happen. And it's just all by chance and circumstance and there's no structure, there's nothing, there's no pattern, there's no purpose to any of it. The only way that we can win is by getting the most pleasure and money we can in our brief existence on this miserable life. And we're told there is no God and there is no purpose. Psalms 14:1 says this, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. See, I read in my preparation for this message a person that was making the case saying that while as a Christian, we don't live our lives by chance and we don't live our lives by luck. And they were trying to make this case that the original word for luck comes from the name Luke. Sounds good in theory, but in reality, it's not. There's nothing to really back that up. It was just something they were spouting out. Because the word luck actually dates back to the 15th century and comes from the Middle Dutch word L-U-C, which is short for geluk, which means happiness and good fortune. However, as children of God, Christians do not believe that their lives are governed by chance. Our lives are governed by purpose. See, luck may have its place in the board games, but we do not live our lives by chance. Matter of fact, Psalms 37:23 in the New Living Translation says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. See, the whole idea that we're some accident, the whole idea that there's no purpose for it all, that somehow we just came to be and there's no real purpose, there's nothing, we're just walking through this thing by accident, by chance, hoping for a little good luck along the way is a lie straight from the enemy. But then there are those who are also risking losing life's battle, even though they may believe in God, but they're risking losing it all by living an aimless life. Jesus, before he even got into the whole deal about being the good shepherd, in Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36, he says this. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I don't know about you, but do you have times you feel harassed and helpless? Does your life seem aimless and pointless and purposeless? Do you feel vulnerable? Do you feel at times like you're a sheep without a shepherd. And I think any of us, if we're honest, at some point in our lives, we've felt a little that way. I kind of liken it to when you play a game of ping pong with somebody and finally you miss a shot and the ball bounces. You're trying to look cool while you're going to chase the ball that's been missed. And it's bouncing off everything in the world. You're just kind of running around like this, grabbing for this thing. And you feel like life is bouncing all over the place and you're not in control. See, we're told there's no purpose in life. We're told just relax and enjoy the journey. And yet, it's interesting how the more our society embraces this lie of there not being a purpose, embraces this lie of life is just an aimless thing, isn't it interesting how the more it falls apart, the more we embrace this idea? I read just this week, if you saw the headlines, so there's people in London now that are actually just walking up to people they don't know and dousing them with acid. It's become this thing. And so you got that going. You have all this violence, and it seems like we live in a time where we're told we're supposed to be more tolerant, but there seems to be less and less of it. Destructions of people's lives and reputations without proof, just for the sale of political gain and ratings. We see it all the time that something is rumored and everybody jumps on the bandwagon and their life is destroyed and their reputation is tarnished to the point where it's non-repairable, only to find out, whoops, that's true. And all the slanders and headlines this big and the retractions and a headline that big buried somewhere. See, we live in a time where even suicide is glorified. When you have on shows that some of you are watching, things like 13 Reasons Why and all these things that are going on in the world around us, and we see that we're living in this day and this time where the more we talk about how aimless and how by chance life is, the more it tends to fall apart. Every year, statistically, 30,000 Americans decide to their lives are not worth living and they commit suicide. By some estimates, 10 times this many attempt suicide and fail. Hundreds of thousands more consider killing themselves but do not attempt to follow through, it is estimated. And to me, one of the saddest things of all, among teenagers, suicide is the second most common cause of death in this nation. What is wrong? Why are so many adults and teenagers concluding the idea that life is not worth living? Is it because they're so aimless with no path to find purpose or meaning to it all and things become so overwhelming when things go bad? If I'm not here for a reason and there's no purpose, I might as well go ahead and bring this thing to an end and get out of it. And what do we always hear? Education must be the answer. You know, if we can get these people educated on these matters, it'll turn around. Well, is education the answer? I believe education is a good thing, but if the education is just reinforcing the idea that we're here for nothing, then it's only perpetuating the problem. See, the whole idea is that we're here for a purpose. And it's interesting to me, I ran across this thing, I know this is the craziest thing, we all know that psychiatrists will go and get counseling. I'm not saying that I'm against all counseling. Sometimes it's a very, very good thing. But it's interesting that psychiatrists, some of the most educated people in the world, you actually have to have a medical degree before you can get your psychiatry degree. And so you have to have very, very educated people that are supposed to know how the mind works, right? And so certainly they should understand. But yet of all the professions, and I thought this was this. Of all the professional groups in the United States, psychiatrists have the highest suicide rate in this nation. And we're going to them to help them get us to straighten our problems out. Now, if you're here and you happen to be a psychiatrist, I'm sure you're one of the good ones, okay? But But Matthew 9:36 that we read earlier in the Message Bible, it's not my favorite translation, but every now and then it's just one of those verses that nails it. And it says this, talking about Jesus, when he looked over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. Does that describe today or what? See, bottom line is one of the most common themes of a fulfilled life is the feeling of accomplishing nothing, the feeling of living an aimless life. I've even known Christians who have a call on their life and they continue to wander aimlessly, never really doing anything about it. Then they realize one day, oops, I'm too old to do this thing that I was called to do years ago, just because they lived an aimless life and they never truly got to what he desired for them to do. And they realize life has passed them by. Some of the biggest troublemakers I've seen in life, in churches, are those that are miserable because they're running from their purpose in life. And so they make it miserable for everyone else. Years ago, I'm not going to say how many, but a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, when Kim and I were just married, and we were in this church that we loved, there began to be some trouble in the church, and basically, to make a long story short, there was a board member that decided that they didn't like the way things were going. They thought things should be run differently. And so they began to complain about every little thing. And this person went and began to pull other people into his corner and began and got people stirred up. And the next thing you know, we had this business meeting to vote on the validity of the pastor, which I grew up under and knew very well and knew that he was a godly man and he had not done anything wrong. But they, because some people didn't like it, they decided they were going to vote him out and move the church in a different direction. And I'll never forget that business meeting, going to that business meeting, because, you know, we were members and this young person trying to, you know, the church is supposed to be a good place, right? A happy place. It's supposed to be a place where, and seeing these people in this business meeting fight like Christians shouldn't be fighting with one another. And that group lost it, and the pastor was reinstated, and truth and justice, in a sense, won. But yet there was this block of people that got mad and left the church. And I was really bothered by that. Obviously, as a young Christian, like, wow, how could that happen? But then later on, I found out partially what the deal was. That one board member had been called in the ministry when he was a young man. And because he thought that he couldn't make enough money in life doing that, he had ran from it his whole life. And now that he was getting older, he was trying to run the church, almost in a sense making up for the calling he had on his life when that was not his position in that church, to run the church. See, when we buy into the lies of the enemy and we live lives aimlessly, it just leads to distraction and trouble. And we've seen how that it happens, and the enemy can do this in our lives. And what did Jesus say? He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and that's what he does. If he can get us to buy in the idea that we're all living this life by chance, if he can get us to live an aimless, purposeless life, he's got us where he wants us. So we've discussed some of those things, but the good news is I like the last part of the verse where Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly, depending on the translation that you're reading. Life to the full. Doesn't that just sound good? Life to the full, right? We're about to dismiss here in a little bit. It is coming, I promise. And some of you will leave, and you will go to some restaurant, and you will walk out of the restaurant and say, man, I am full. We kind of like that feeling, as long as it's not too much. It can get miserable, but we kind of like that feeling. And I know about you, but I like the idea of having life to the full, being satisfied with the things you long for. And a full life is a life with purpose. It's a life that's not lived by chance. It's a life that's seized and taken a hold of. It's a life that's not an aimless or wasted life. It's a life that is fulfilled. don't know about you, sometimes I'd like it to be a little less busy some weeks. Because some weeks just seem like that there's things going on. Just want to think, okay, finally I can go for the home for the evening, and then there's a phone call and something else happens, and I understand that, and I'm not complaining at all, but just, I'm just saying sometimes like, okay, I can use a little less activity on some days. But you know what? The thing I thank God for every day is that I get up every day knowing that my life has meaning and my life has purpose. And there's something about that. But how do we get there? Let's look a little closer at what Jesus said leading up to our text today. See if we're going down to verse 3 of John chapter 10. He says this. He says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Wow, there's a lot in that. See, we all want to be successful. It doesn't matter what you do. We want to do good at it. Every teacher wants to be the teacher of the year or the teacher of the month. Every athlete, whatever sport, wants to be the MVP. The key to not being a victim of the lies that the enemy tells us and to not have our fulfillment stolen from us is to learn to run from the wrong voices and run towards the voice of the Good Shepherd. That is the key. But how do you know that voice? We live in a world where there's a lot of stuff screaming at us, right? How do you know that voice? The same way you get to know anybody's voice. Spend time with them, and you'll learn their voice. You can have somebody that you spend a lot of time around. You can be years removed from them, and you can hear that voice. You're like, I recognize that voice. I never forget when we first came to the church. A lot of you know Glenn that sits right there where Fred's sitting in the first service, and Glenn has this big laugh, right? If you know Glenn at all, you hear him laugh, you're like, that's Glenn. My wife, Kim, attended this church back in the 70s when she was a little kid. And we came back here to be pastors. One of the first things that happened was we walked in the building and Glenn laughed and Kim said, I know who that is. Because she knew that voice. Same way. And if we spend time with him, we spend time in his presence, and we spend time in his word, and we spend time praying, and we do those things, we will learn what that voice sounds like, and we can follow that voice as we live out and we walk out our lives. And we can bank on that voice. Believe it or not, about 7 years ago, Kim and I were feeling the call to be senior pastors and step out of the staff position we were at the church. And at this time, the Lakes Community Church was up there in Fate. And they had gone through some situations and some circumstances and found themselves in need of a pastor. We really felt like God was calling us there. And I was sure, without a doubt, that God had said, that's the church, that's the place. And so we went through the process, and we put our name in, and I sent the resume in, and went through that whole situation. And we got word that, yes, we've narrowed it down to two people, and you're one of those names. I was like, yeah, I heard that voice. That voice was right. This is it. You can imagine my shock when I got the phone call. Sorry, but we decided to go with the other person. We had them come in and speak on a Sunday, and everybody voted and decided that that's the one. And so thank you for applying, and we enjoyed meeting you and spending time with you, but we're headed in this direction. You can imagine how I felt after hanging up that phone call, right? Wait a minute, that voice that I followed my whole Christian life, I know he was telling me that this was the place. But apparently I missed it. So it was, you can imagine, it was devastating when you follow that voice and think, I know that I know. And then you start questioning, well, what else have I missed the boat on? And so I was pretty distraught, to be honest with you. So I finally went in to our associate pastor of the church that I was on staff at the time, and I sat down in his office, and I said, you're not going to believe the phone call that I got, because he knew that what we were doing. And they were cheering us on. They felt like it was time. And so I said, I just got this call, and they're going with the other person. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and said, just because they made that decision doesn't mean that you heard the voice wrong. God can still turn this around, and you may still be the person. A couple of days went by, and I get a phone call. And the guy that they had voted on and had went home. He and his wife got to praying about it, called back. God told us we're not the ones. So I'm pulling my name out. And then we get a phone call. We hate to put you back on an emotional roller coaster, but we would like to talk to you again about the idea of. And it was this interesting journey, but for me, it was that validation. Yes, that voice that I've learned to follow was right. How great it is to know that we can have that voice, and we can follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, and that he can lead us and can guide us in life. And if we follow that voice, we will end up where we're supposed to be and do what we're supposed to be doing. See, when we submit and follow that voice, we are a people of purpose in an aimless world. That'll cause you to stand out. And the truth is, we are people that has a passion for God, one that he loves and leads through life if we will follow him, because he desires the very, very best for us. Rick Warren says this, you are made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make any sense. See, the truth is, no matter what the world tells us, you're not an accident. Your birth wasn't a mistake or a mishap, and your life is no fluke of nature. Your parents may not have planned for you, but you are a part of God's plan. It was not at all, he wasn't surprised by your birth. He wasn't going along manning the universe and go, oh, I didn't see that one coming. Well, I guess I have to come up with some purpose for them too. No. See, it's not by luck. It's not by chance. It's not a coincidence that you are breathing air that he created at this very moment. Life is a very real and precious thing. And despite what all the sci-fi movies tell us, there's no proof that there's any life anywhere else but here. Now, could there be? Sure, God's a creative God. He can do anything he wants to do. But this idea that somehow there's life everywhere and this culmination, this life coming into being is just something that happens everywhere and it's just part of it. It's just another lie that the enemy wants to perpetrate into our lives. Because we're special and you have a purpose. I want to close with this thought. Life without Christ has a hopeless end. Life with Christ has an endless hope. Let that sink in for a moment. I want to say it again. Life without Christ has a hopeless end. Life with Christ is an endless hope. Do you long for that? We do have an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. See, he loves you and he cares for you. and he has a purpose and a plan for you. And you are not a mistake. And you're not going through life. There's not some cosmic spinner being spun, and you just happen to land on the space. Something pops up, and either something good or something bad happens. Now, if you give your life to Christ, is every day going to be perfect? No, we do have an enemy. We will face struggles. There will be things pop up. But you know what? Even when we face struggles, we can know if we're in Christ that, you know what? There is, I'm going to come out of this okay on the other side. There is a purpose that will be gained from this. And I will go on because he loves me and he desires the very best for me. So I can have life and I can have it to the full. And when it's over, it's not about the money and the other thing and everybody else chases after. I can know that I'm prepared for eternity as well. And that's what he wants for us. I invite our prayer team to come to the front. And maybe you're here today and you're walking through this life and life has given you bumps in the road and circumstances. And you say, you know what? I just need a touch from God today. He does that. We'd love to pray for you. So in a moment, I'm going to open the altars up. And if you need prayer for any circumstance, feel free to come down. We'd love to pray for you. I want to focus for just a moment on the idea that perhaps there's somebody here that you've bought into the lie. And somehow you've been convinced that life is just this thing of chance. That either you're lucky or you're not lucky, or a mixture of the two. Or maybe you say, you know what, I believe in God. I don't believe it's all by chance, but just kind of live this aimless life with really no purpose or direction. I'm just kind of going through and going with the flow. If the wind blows over here, I go over here. If it blows over there, I go over there. And I really have no purpose or direction in my life. If you fall into either one of those categories, I'd like you for just a moment, Lord, for everybody just to bow your heads and close your eyes. Because my goal is not to put anybody on a spot. But if you're here and say, you know what, I kind of in that category of thinking that life is by chance, and I realize today that maybe it's not, and I would like to ask Jesus to come in to my heart and life so that I can know him and know what voice to follow. And I need that in my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Anybody at all? So I don't want to miss an opportunity. If God's been speaking to you in that area, we want to give you an opportunity. We had one person in the first service that said, yes, that me. Anybody at all? Secondly, maybe you're here and you think, well, you know what, I believe in this Jesus stuff. I believe that he's Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe all this stuff, but I've really just kind of been living this aimless life. I really didn't think my life had a purpose, and I'd like to find that person a purpose. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, if you raise your hand for any of those things, or you hear and say, I just need somebody to pray with me over another circumstance. We believe in the power of prayer. We'd love to pray with you. So I'm going to pray, and as I pray, if you would, just come down and let us agree with you in prayer this morning. Father, we do come before you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, that we are folks, Lord Jesus, that believe that life has a purpose. And Lord, you are the author of life. And Lord, while we were still sinners, you did die for us. But Lord, we also know that by your grace and your power, God, that you called us and you set us apart and you have a purpose and a plan for our life. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that if there's anybody here that feels like that they're living a life and it's an aimless life, an aimless existence, Lord God, that you would bless them and help them find direction. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that that hasn't given their life to you and they were just a little afraid to acknowledge that, Lord, I pray that right now as they sit there that you would speak to their hearts, their lives, and they would ask you to come to their lives. They would set things right and their life would see purpose. Lord, I also pray for each and every one of us that are here today that you would touch us and help us. Lord, let us have an ear that's a little more attuned to your voice. That we would follow your voice and follow your purpose and follow your leading and follow your guidance. And Lord, that you would call us out and that we would know the good shepherd's voice. Because Lord, as your word declares, you are interested in every detail of our lives and our lives matter to you. And Lord, help us to always surrender our lives to you completely. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This time you're dismissed. I'd ask you to quietly make your way out while they're praying. And please wait to get to the foyer before you start visiting or so forth. But thank you for being with us today. Don't forget prayer at 6 o'clock tonight.